from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. And we are joined right now on our fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years by our friend, our Steelers insider, Ray Fittipaldo. And he is brought to us by your Western PA injury attorneys of LGKG. Build on relationships, credibility, and integrity. LGKG.com. Raymond, good morning, buddy. What's up?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well.
We got real football this week, Ray. You excited?
Absolutely. Fly down to Atlanta on Saturday afternoon. Three of the first four on the road. So, we're getting started right.
I hear they have a bunch of great strip clubs in Atlanta, Ray. Mm.
You know what I remember about Atlanta from the last trip? This will show you how old I am. They had a great ice cream bar in the press box.
Ice cream bar.
Much more your speed than the strip clubs. And Dora and I, we would never go.
Ago, 20 years ago, I might have been more interested in the strip club, but yeah.
I hear their legendary place down there has a hell of a chicken wing spread, but.
It does.
Yeah. Oh.
Just been multiple times.
Is the chicken? Never mind. Fan Twitter, I'll get a read out of the way. Brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Ray, are we, even after hearing Mike Tomlin yesterday talk about Troy Faltanu, are we still expecting it to be Broderick Jones on the right, Dan Moore on the left?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it just makes sense. You know, that'd be asking an awful lot of a rookie to come in and really just practice Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday and get ready for his first NFL start after missing, you know, 3.5 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, I think they'll ease Troy into it. You know, Troy still has the chance of dressing. I mean, they need backups along that offensive line, but I fully expect Broderick on the right, Dan Moore on the left, and then after this week, once Troy proves he's good, that's where the intrigue starts, right? You know, does Broderick go to the bench? Does Dan Moore, who's had a really good preseason, go to the bench? That's a nice dilemma to have if you're a coach, because I think all those guys are good players. But yeah, I think the intrigue is going to start next week.
Ray, Cam Hayward's contract, is there any negatives that you see in this? I mean, there are some people out there that say that this is a disaster of a contract. I don't believe it. I think that this is, on both sides, very favorable and probably really in the direction of where each side wanted to be. Do you see any negatives in this contract?
Yeah, I mean, the contract was filed last night. Apparently, I looked it up on Over the Cap, and there's no negative whatsoever for the Steelers. I mean, I don't want to say nothing's changed, but nothing's changed really. He was scheduled to make $16 million this year, and he's going to make $16 million this year. The only thing they did was gave him $15 million in a signing bonus, and now he's making $1 million in salary. So there's no money guaranteed beyond 2024. So, you know, when you look at it, you know, if Cam Hayward wants to come back to the Steelers again in 2025, they're probably going to have to, you know, sit down again after the season. So obviously win-win, you know, Cam gets some money up front. Steelers really didn't change a thing on their end. So I think it's all good for both sides.
I think he's now the 20th highest paid defensive tackle in the National Football League. What are your expectations for Cam this year? And put on your prediction hat, Ray, do you think he'll finish out the 3 years?
Yeah, listen, I think when Cam Hayward is healthy, and really you have to go back to 2022, but really from that stretch from, I think it was 2018 to 2022, I think he was a first-team All-Pro like three times, second-team All-Pro once. When he is healthy, he's really good, and he proved that he could be really good even in his early 30s. Now, I understand there's injuries and there's wear and tear and there's age, but when that guy is right, he can really collapse the pocket and be a force in the middle for that defense. And to predict beyond this year, I think we all have to wait and see how this year goes. You know, if he has 10 sacks and he's really good against the run and he plays all 17 games, then, yeah, I think he can come back in 2025 and maybe even 2026. But I think both the Steelers and probably Cam are kind of in wait-and-see mode to see just how everything goes this year.
Ray, now that this is done, how long until Pat Freiermuth is going to sign on the dotted line?
Yeah, I mean, any day now. It was funny. We were talking to Cam on Monday about these contracts and how, you know, things seem to get done closer to the end of the week than the beginning. Cam got his done, but he also brought up when Cam was young, Troy Polamalu signed his contract right before they got on a flight to Baltimore on a Saturday before they played the Ravens on a Sunday. So I remember Cortez Allen signed like 10 o'clock at night on Saturday. A couple hours before the deadline, the Steelers self-imposed deadline. So I do think it's going to happen. I think Pat obviously is the more important contract here. Probably going to be their number two receiver this year. He's young. He's a good player. So I think that'll get done. But, timetable, probably later this week, I'd say.
Ray, it sounds like they're going to be saving $9 million against the cap this year based on what happened with Cam Hayward's contract. Do you think they're open up for any possibilities, maybe even at the trade deadline, in adding a player at a position in need?
Yeah, I mean, that's always out there. You look at this receiving core. I know Mike talked about it, you know, in glowing terms yesterday, but I think there's still a lot of question marks about that unit. You know, we're going into the season with questions at slot corner, about depth at outside corner. So I know some of that's going to get solved right around the deadline by the return of Cam Sutton. But, you know, there could be issues at other positions that we don't even know about right now. So that's a good point. Steelers have a lot of cap space. They can do some maneuvering at the trade deadline. I know Omar usually likes to trade for picks. But, listen, if they're in contention and they need a body in here to help out, I wouldn't put it past them to go out and get a player either.
Ray, if both quarterbacks were getting paid $1.2 million, who would you want to be your quarterback, Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I would probably – so here's the thing. I would probably go with Kirk in the regular season, and I would probably want Russ in the playoffs, if that makes any sense. Just because Russ takes care of the ball, he's been on the big stage before, obviously won a Super Bowl, and Kirk Cousins is really good to me, but we all know what it's about in the NFL. You got to win in the playoffs, and that guy's never won in the playoffs. So I'd probably go with Russ. I mean, if you want to pin me down, but Kirk Cousins is really good. I wouldn't put it past them to put up 300 and three TDs on the Steelers on Sunday. I mean, that guy's been doing it for a long time.
Ray Fittipaldo with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Ray, if the Steelers win on Sunday, what's it look like? Because I feel like they can really only win one way right now, and that's running the ball, playing defense, which is not dissimilar to the way it's been the last 3 years.
I know that's probably going to disappoint a lot of fans who want to see a different type of offense. It is going to be different. It's going to be well constructed. It's going to have some thought behind the play calls. But, you know, 23-20, 20-17, I mean, that's the way this is designed to work. And especially early in the season, with the way these injuries are, You're going to want to run the football. You don't want to be second long, third and long with this young offensive line having the pass protect. So, yeah, I think it'll be conservative, low scoring, and like Mike Tomlin says, win it in the fourth quarter. I think that's the way it's probably going to turn out if they get the W.
Ray, who's going to stand out? Who's going to be the star of the game for the Steelers if they do run their offense or even their defense the way that we're thinking they're going to do it?
I know he was kind of ignored throughout the offseason and maybe even disrespected, but I'm going to go Najee Harris. And I know Jalen says he's going to be ready for Sunday, but they're taking it really slow with him. So even if he does play, guys, I don't think it'll be his normal workload. So I think we might see old Najee here, you know, like 70% of the touches, maybe even playing more on third downs if Jalen is a little hampered by that hamstring injury. So I think it could be a big day for Najee.
Ray, really good stuff, man. Next time we talk, we'll have a game to break down, man. We're finally here.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend. I'll see you.
Enjoy the chicken wings. See if they'll pin you down.
Ice cream.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He's getting the ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I ever wanted to eat at a strip club.
You would if you went to one of these ones down
that
in
good,
ATL.
Huh?
Yes. Yes.
We used to, on my old show that nobody listened to, even though I thought it was a good show, shocker, we used to pretend like we would go to the Super Bowl every year. We would pretend we were at Radio Row, and we had Colby Armstrong on talking Penguins. And we said, Colby, we're in Atlanta, and we're having a great time. He said, oh, you got to go. You boys got to go over to that strip club with the chicken wings. I'm like, okay, well, we'll send you a picture from when we get there.
He thought we were really there.
Like, he wasn't in on the joke. You got to get over that strip club. They got all that chicken wings. All right, you give us a text brought to you by Egger Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We'll react to some of what Ray had to say, but you had a question there at the end that I want to answer. I think there's two guys that I don't think a ton of people are talking about going into the game that could stand out on Sunday, and I want to know if you agree. We'll do that next. John Wehner with a little Skeens talk at the bottom of the...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You know, he's a talented guy. He's a quick and eager learner. Doesn't make a lot of mistakes twice. He's got a skill set that might allow him to contribute, particularly in some passing circumstances. He's an easy runner. He can cover people. We'll just continue to carve out a role for him. But make no mistake, we're excited about the prospects and his talent level.
That's Mike Tomlin talking about inside backer Peyton Wilson. And that's pretty effusive praise from Tomlin. Talking about a guy that you're not going to be able to keep off the field, but a guy that they sound like they seem to know what exactly they want to do with him. And I think in passing downs, you know, third and long, if you will, Dorn. I think you're going to see a lot of Peyton Wilson in there, and maybe less so of Landon Roberts. Not that he can't do it, but boy, is it not tantalizing to consider Peyton Wilson next to Patrick Queen on like a third and eight with the dogs pinning their ears up. Sounds pretty good to me.
I'm going to throw another one in there with you. Peyton Wilson, Patrick Queen, and the little Nick Herbig.
That was going to be the other guy, Dorian.
You know, have him rushing, and then you got to get, you know, Patrick Queen kind of being the general of the middle, looking and figuring things out. And then you got Peyton Wilson either blitzing or dropping into coverage one-on-one with the tight end, one-on-one with Kelsey on Christmas, one-on-one with, you know, Njoku whenever they have divisional play like that. Those are the packages.
And
good
call.
That's a thing, too, is that whenever you're a young player like that, and defense, it, you know, has its leeways. Whenever, because it's just more instinctive, and you know the coverages, you know where to drop, you know you're going to be the hook to curl in cover three, you know you're going to be the hook and stuff like that in cover two, like you.
Yeah, sure.
It's pretty simple, but whenever you have like a package where you know you're specifically going to do one thing as a young player, and he's a young player that already runs a 4-4, and that translates to the field, like he's not going to have to think about anything. But you're blitzing off the edge. Okay, I know I'm going to blitz. I have no other responsibility. If things change, I'm still blitzing. Like, that's a good way to infuse a young guy without having to think too much and having to be a mainstay early on in his career, but to go out there and to just utilize everything that he's good at and just let him play free and make plays. And I guarantee you'll see, even early on, I think Sunday you'll see a nice little Peyton Wilson package where you're like, okay, third down. Oh, look. Oh, okay. They're dialing it up.
I think they're going to play him a lot.
Yeah.
Because, look, they're going to want to try to run the ball, and it's a Sean McVay kind of system. Raheem Morris over there.
Zach Robinson's the coordinator,
yes.
Right? Or pass game coordinator,
yes.
Or whatever.
So you're going to get a heavy dose of what you saw last year, and the Steelers went out there and won. Got a tight end, couple of them you're going to have to contend with. I could see him being a big part of this game plan. And frankly, man, for the first time since 2017, I feel good about the Steelers' inside linebacker core. Now, last year, I thought they played well, but then you have three guys you feel like you can count on, and all of them, in some form or fashion, get hurt. Like, that is just bad luck. This year, you love the depth, too. Cole Holcomb starting the season on PUP, but if and when he's ready, you're rolling four linebackers I think you feel really good about.
Yeah.
Queen, Roberts, Wilson, Holcomb, Mark Robinson makes the roster, and he looked good, I thought, in the preseason. Maybe five guys you can count on who have all played big-time snaps with the exception, of course, of Peyton Wilson. I feel great about it.
Yep.
And I don't think you can have a truly elite of the elite defense without having linebackers that can run and cover. And they finally have it. In the modern football, like T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, Cam Hayward, Keanu Benton, all right, you got to pay attention to the pass rush, but every night you're planning to attack the Steelers' defense. You're looking slot corner, and you're trying to find that weak linebacker. And they have had, up until, like I said last year, a linebacker that every season you circle and go, oh, we're going after that guy. Robert Spillane was playing legitimate minutes as a starting inside linebacker. And God bless him as a special teams dude and a run stuffer, but like that guy ain't a modern-day linebacker. That guy would have been right at home playing in the 1970s.
Yes.
It ain't the 1970s anymore. You also bring up Nick Herbig. I set the over-under at 5.5 sacks. Where are we going?
For the year,
mm-hmm.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
I think before the bye week.
Really?
Yeah. I think he has a 2-sack game coming up in the next four games.
I hope they use him a ton.
They will. They have to. How can you keep a guy like that off the field?
Agreed.
That's just what it comes down to.
And that's what Tomlin said yesterday in the news conference. Like, if you've got good players, you're going to use them.
Uh-huh.
Not only are they good in the front seven, this is the best I've felt about the front seven in a long time, too. They got questions at slot corner. They got questions at depth on the outside. But their front seven, not only do they have really good players, really good starters, you roll in Herbig, you roll in Peyton Wilson, eventually you roll in Cole Holcomb. I mean, they've got depth there, man. You're going to see, Watt play 80% of the snaps. You're going to see Highsmith play 80% of the snaps, which means there's going to be 40% of the snaps for Herbig. I just hope they're thoughtful with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know, and we know, that Highsmith can rush the passer. He's also stout against the run. I think Herbig's a better pass rusher.
Yes.
So get him in there, man.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Cousins, third down and eight. that guy comes screaming off the edge with that speed. Just brings another
different element, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he can move around and obviously end up as the pass rusher. Like, it's hard to account for. And then you still got to block him. So, and then you're like, all right, well, this guy's wreaking havoc. Like, do I chip him or do I chip TJ? Do I chip? And then you're taking an element out of your pass game. So it does bring a lot more to this defense to, you know, that's already pretty good. It's already pretty good. And he's definitely a pleasant surprise that I think they'll be utilized a lot in different ways, too. I don't know if he's going to play like a different position.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, like if he can handle it.
Moving around,
yeah.
As bearish as I am on the offense, I'm bullish on the defense. Like, you have too many good players to not be elite on that side of the ball. Like, I feel like we're sleeping on Patrick Queen. And from a blitz perspective, too. Two seasons ago, he had 5 sacks with the Ravens. Last season, he had 3.5 sacks. You'll take 8.5 sacks in 2 years from an inside linebacker. And they haven't had that blitzing presence at inside linebacker since Vince Williams,
mm-hmm.
who was elite at it. I don't think they have to manufacture a lot of pressure, but on the rare occasion where they're getting blocked up, and I do think Atlanta's got a really good offensive line, bring some blitzes. You got Patrick Queen. Peyton Wilson was a dynamic blitzer at NC State. Nick Herbert, I'm feeling good about the defense. And I think with all these guys and everything we've talked about, you can mask some flaws at corner, depending on who you play. But I think you can mask some flaws there. They've done that for years.
If you get home.
You got to get home, though.
And which I think they have the guys to do it. Yeah, mm-hmm. they have the guys to do it.
They should, in my opinion, lead the league in sacks. And they should be right up there with takeaways. There's a lot of luck involved with the takeaway thing, but if you lead the league in sacks, you should be right up there.
I think Minkah will have a lot of takeaways because he's just back in his kind of normal spot.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be asked to do too much and trying to, you know, kind of cover up some other issues that...
Like linebacker.
I think with him being the more of the general role, he will be creating the turnovers that he didn't last year. Well, he didn't have any, right?
No. Tackle machine,
yeah.
But
that's bad.
Yeah,
he's a tackle machine.
Look, he was. I think he was very good last year. You're one of the highest paid safeties in the NFL because you take the ball away.
Yep.
Look at what they got in Atlanta. Those guys, they getting paid. They take the ball away. Texter, is this right, Doran? Strip club yins are looking for is called Magic City.
One of them.
Get the lemon pepper wet wings.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm a lemon pepper guy.
Pretty good. Have you ever had it?
No.
See? I knew you didn't have it because you're like, I don't know if I am. Like, have you ever had it before?
I don't know that I'm a big wet guy either. Like, I like a good
strip club?
I like a good dry rub in the strip club. John Wehner joins us next. Should the Pirates bring Kutch back next year? Skeens, not good yet, super good last night. How's Cruz doing in center? We'll talk to Wehner before we get right back to football at 8:50. We got the great unsponsored yet sponsored football segment coming up at 8:50. Right now we are joined by our good friend, one of our favorite people, John Wehner. He is brought to us by Allegiant Federal Community Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. And by Gutter Helmet. Save 50% on the installation of Gutter Helmet during their fall sale this month only, 888-5-HELMET. Good morning to you, John. How you doing?
Spunky. Feeling spunky. How you guys doing?
You're not as spunky as that umpire was last night. The hell was that about, John?
Oh, yeah. He was a little fired up over nothing, really, I thought.
John, it made me so mad, and I probably shouldn't have been mad, but Skeens goes hopping off the mound. I didn't think it was disrespectful, and this guy loses his mind. What the hell?
Yeah, I didn't know if somebody said something or what was going on there, but, yeah, that was all. I was on radio, so I don't get to see a whole lot. I kind of miss things. I don't have a great view of a monitor or anything else. But, yeah, he got a little – I mean, I think he came out, and it's fine. Everything was fine.
You know what impresses me most about Skeens, John, not that you care, it's that even when he doesn't have his best stuff against a team that's been hitting the cover off the baseball, you look up and, oh, boy, ho-hum, 5 innings, no runs. He's just a different kind of cat, man.
Yeah, for more reasons than one. I mean, for one, he's going to be he's hard to hit. I mean, he's got 5 really good pitches that are going to be hard to hit, and for two, and he's a bulldog, and when he gets into trouble, he's not making mistakes. He's able to execute. He can slow the game down. He doesn't overthink it. He executes. He puts pitches in places where they're hard to hit, and that's pretty special, especially for a rookie. But He was a little erratic. I don't know if he was as aggressive as he's been as far as getting ahead in the count and, you know, using pitching off the fastball. I think he pitched a little more backwards last night in terms of, you know, throwing more off-speed stuff. The slider, the changeup was a great pitch for him last night. I mean, maybe a difference maker, really. It's the most I've seen him throw that changeup, and he got a ton of swing and miss on it, but... You know, there was times he got behind the count, got in a bunch of three-ball counts, the pitch count got up. You know, he had four walks. But, yeah, when you load the bases against him, I'm pretty sure Joe Block said he's yet to give up a hit with the bases loaded. And that's what great pitchers do. When they get into trouble, they're able to execute. And, you know, certain usually young guys, they get in trouble because – you know, they kind of tense up in those situations. They hang a breaking ball or make a mistake in the middle of the plate, and there's a gap shot, and you give up three runs. And, you know, that changes the ERA. That changes everything. And for him, he pitches better in those situations, which is pretty incredible for a young guy.
John, give us a grade of O'Neill Cruz in the outfield thus far.
Hasn't really been tested, you know. I guess you could say B. I can't give him an A, I guess, because there's really hasn't been much of a challenge for him out there. He hasn't really had to run into the wall or run into the gaps, or there hasn't been much degree of difficulty. In Cleveland, the one night, I didn't realize it till after the game. There was not one ball hit. He did not touch a game ball the entire game. There wasn't a base hit. There wasn't a fly ball. There was nothing. And I thought, wow, I don't know if I've ever seen that before. But, you know, he's catching the balls that are in the air. And, you know, he really hasn't had much of a test, really. Hasn't had to make any throws, really. I guess at first start he had the throw home, the play at the plate, which was impressive. Guy went to third yesterday on him, but that would have been a tough play too. But he's been okay, you know. So I'll give him a B just because he really we haven't seen a lot.
Could he run the risk of getting bored from his whole life really being in the action, and now, like you just said, he hasn't really gotten tested that much? Could he run the risk of getting bored and then caught off guard?
This might not sound good, but he always looks bored. You know, when he walks back to the dugout, when he was at short, he kind of looks like he's bored. And I think, you know, in between pitches, it does. It looks like he's kind of, you know, just floating around there. But I watch him a lot of times, like as the pitch is being delivered, just to see how he's setting up. I watch him at short. I watch him at center. When the pitch is being delivered, he puts himself in a position. He's definitely paying attention. But the outfield does get boring. You know, I've played out there, and it's way different than the infield. The infield, there's so many scenarios going through your mind. You're thinking, you know, the outs, the score, if the ball's hit to my left, I'm doing this. It's hit to my right, I'm doing this. And, you know, you're so much more engaged in the infield because there's so much more to think about, and I think there's more decisions to make. The outfield, yeah, you might go a game without seeing a ball hit to you. You still have another situation in the game and where you're going with the ball and base hit, fly ball, et cetera. But, yeah, you can get bored out there. But like I said, I watch him a bunch just to see where how he's setting up and everything else like that. And, you know, I think he's engaged, even though he looks a little bored sometimes.
Last thing here for you, John. The White Sox are 31-109. They had two dudes run into each other last night. They are 5-45 in the last 50 games. Have you ever seen anything quite as dismal as these Chicago White Sox?
Nothing, not even close. It's incredible. I just don't understand it. And then they had a couple guys that, you know, they got some guys that are pretty good. And then they have that the one pitcher, the big lefty. I'm like, how do you lose when he's pitching? And then they had Fetty or Feedy earlier in the year, I'm like, and he was pitching well. I don't understand it. I don't understand. Joe said something the other night, I guess when we came back Monday night against the Cubs, it was the 11th loss that the Cubs have had leading after seven. And I'm like, dang, that's a lot. And then he went with another team, and then he said the White Sox were 27-11 when they were leading after seven. That means they were losing after seven over 100 times.
Oh, my God.
That's insane. It's like
John, it might be the worst team I've seen in any professional sport, like over a full year.
Yes. It is the worst team ever in any sport. You're right. It just doesn't make sense. In baseball, again, you're major league players, and you're going to get a pitching performance, or you're going to get a guy like that's been there, done that, like Robert or Jimenez or somebody that is going to do something and win you ball games. But they're going to lose 125 games.
Awful.
Which is impossible.
John, this was fun. As always, enjoy your final night or day in Chicago, and we'll talk to you next week.
We'll do. Bored to death. It feels like we've been here a week. It's just, I like day games here better.
Well, you're just hanging out in center field. All right, John. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys.
Thanks, John.
Have a good day.
John Wehner. Coming up next, Caboli is yeeting. Why? I have a guess. Talk about that next. Plus, it's the great unsponsored football segment brought to you by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. But that music can mean one thing, and one thing only. It's time for the great unsponsored football segment, sponsored by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. We had Mark Caboli yeeting. Educated guess here that the yeet is in reference to an impending Pat Freiermuth contract extension. We have no terms. We don't even know if that's what the yeet is about, but it wouldn't shock me that if by 5 p.m. today, like we had by 5 p.m. yesterday with Cam Hayward, something gets done with Patty Fry.
Makes a lot of sense. Basically, the timeline, everybody knew that once Cam Hayward would get done, or vice versa, that the next one would follow, and this would make a lot of sense if it was Pat Freiermuth. And good on him.
I don't know what the terms of the deal would be. I think he outperforms the terms of the deal this season.
All I know is I talked to Pat Freiermuth a few weeks ago, and I said, once you do get paid, I need tight end tax. And tight end tax means a veteran tight end should get a little bit of piece of that money.
Yeah.
So he's going to owe me some money.
Slide just some dough right across the table.
Need something.
Tight end taking care of tight end.
Yes.
He and I made a bet on the Penn State-West Virginia game. He was going to take me and my wife to dinner if West Virginia won. We didn't really decide what we would do if the worst happened, and the worst did happen, and I don't know what's going to happen. A little worried about that.
Yeah, I'd be.
definitely worried about that. Ja'Marr Chase might not play week one, Doran, as he's trying to work out a contract with the Cincinnati Bengals, has yet to practice. My prediction, they get it done before the season.
Yes.
I think it'd be stupid not to make him the highest paid receiver in football. Get it done. We're talking about a million or two. Mm-hmm. Just get it done.
Yep.
And I think it will. Are you excited to hear Tom Brady on color commentary this week?
Absolutely.
Me too.
I think he's going to be fantastic. Why wouldn't you think he's going to be fantastic? He just, he's Tom Brady. He's going to be great at anything he does at this point. He's going to will himself to be great.
He's been practicing. He is going to crush it.
Yeah.
I've seen some Bill Belichick clips going around. He was breaking down Walter Payton against the Steelers in the back when they would do the College All-Stars versus the Super Bowl champion, and the analysis was outstanding. He is so good at it. Brady's going to be so good at it. I absolutely can't wait.
I just hope that Brady doesn't get to the point where he's talking too much in-depth football where people don't understand. I hope he dumbs it down a little bit because he can get deep where nobody will understand. That isn't a true football person.
I could see that being his issue early and then him figuring it out because he is going to figure it out
because
he figures everything out, for God's sakes. And then finally, Pitt, Cincinnati, noon kick from Nippert Stadium, Dante Corleone, the mauler in the middle.
The Godfather
for the Cincinnati Bearcats, who was really good last year in that game against Pitt, also really good overall. He had blood clots in his lungs in June. Didn't know if he'd play this year. He has been cleared to play. We'll see him probably against Pitt, though I would imagine he's not going to play anywhere near the number of snaps he did last year.
I hope not. He's very good.
Very good. That's a better test now, though, because the one thing I have a question about with Pitt after game one, because everything looked pretty good offensively, I just want to see the offensive line against good pass rushers, mm-hmm. and, well, he would qualify.
Yep.
We'll talk to Pat Bostic about that a little bit more tomorrow. Do a lot of NFL talk with Pat. He's going to join us from 7 o'clock until 9 every Thursday. But coming up next for a full hour, Doug Whaley. He'll be talking a little Cam Hayward contract, much, much more. That's after I tell you about Fan Weather, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet in Washington Road in McMurray or at sunchevy.com today. High 80, low 53.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.